7. It was a rough ride, irritating for Memoir. She was cramped in the rattling, hot cabin, subjected to rude accelerations. Her pilot seemed to take relish in throwing them into wrenching swoops and pivots. Magnetic ships moved more smoothly, of course, but Memoir had chosen a rocket vehicle. It would not have to hover so close to the outer hull of the world. Memoir braced against the surge and wondered if her pilot could be among the disaffected. This might be a small way of expressing smoldering anger. Best to make a note for future use? Surely not. Vist Blad was of an adapted species. But he had been with her for years, back before Memoir became female. Vist was too smart not to be loyal. Ah. And there, her prey were in sight. That limping one was Tananarive. And those ropey things the probes had seen, now wriggling into one of the cargo cars in a magnetic train, were fingersnakes. Treason! They must be assisting the escaping bipeds. Fingersnakes were a useful species, but their adaptation to civilization had always been chancy. The car's side closed. The whole train lifted, eased away from the docks, and moved into star-spattered space. Memoir considered. She had the acceleration to catch the train. Could she shoot out the magnetic locking plates without harming those inside? But Asenoth had forbidden that, and the primate Tananarive, Memoir saw abruptly, was still standing on the dock. Tananarive had been the language adept of this band, with many sleeps spent acquiring the folk language, thus the most important, for Asenoth wanted a speaking primate for reasons unknown. But the creature seemed ready to fall over. How far could she get before Memoir claimed the rest of them and came back for her? Perhaps she would not even be needed. But wait. Vist Blad, land near the biped. Not too near. We don't want her fried.
Yes, lady.
So what was that about? Memoir had countermanded her own decision. A moment's brief look into her undermind told her why. The abandoned female looked to be dying, and she was the one whom Memoir had inspected, had trained, had grown to know. The others, perhaps they could be caught, perhaps they might all be killed by Memoir's overbuilt weapons, true, but they weren't needed while Tananarive was here. Tananarive wiped sweat away and watched the bulbous vehicle settle a good distance away, engines throbbing. Still teetering a bit, feeling woozy, she stood in the hot, moist wash of rocket exhaust, waiting. Running wouldn't help her. She'd seen the tremendous creature's speed. Memoir opened the great target-shaped window and rolled out. It looked painful. The rocket vehicle was cramped for her. Memoir walked to Tananarive, huffed, and bent low, her eye to the woman's eyes. In her own tongue, she asked, "Where have they gone?" Tananarive groped for a lie, and it was there. Beth's team had discussed destinations and rejected.
"They've gone to join Cliff."
"The other fugitives? The killers?"
"Cliff's team, yes."
"Where?"
She said,
"I don't know. The aliens knew."
"The limbless ones?"
"They are adopted, but often rebellious. We must take action against them. Tananarive, how goes your adventure?" "We were dying for lack of weight," she said. "Lost bone and muscle. What choice did we have?"
Memoir seemed to restrain herself.
"No choice now. Come. Or shall I carry you?"
Tananarive took two steps, wobbled, and fell over. She woke to a vague sensation, a hard surface with big ribs under it. Memoir's hands. She flexed her fists and shook her head, trying to get her mind to work. Now they were in the ship, her face close against a wall dotted with icons for controls. Something rumbled, vibrated. Language? And now the wall took on the appearance of a distant forest of plants grown in low gravity, like the place she'd escaped from. A creature like Memoir stepped into view and flexed a million multicolored feathers. No way could Tananarive follow a conversation that was largely the flexing of feathers and silent subsonic tremors that shook her bones. Memoir was holding Tananarive like a prize, and the other was snarling. Asenoth, the wisdom chief, was not of a mind to be placated.
"One? You have one, and it is dying?"
I will save it, Memor said. I will take it, her, down to the Quicklands, where spin gravity can restore her muscle and strengthen her bones. I know what she eats, and I will procure it. This female is the one who understands me best, gifted, though in many ways simple. She knows rank one of the trans language, Wisdom Chief. Will you question her now?
What would I ask?
Asenoth's feathers showed rage, but that was a plumage lie. Memor's undermind had caught the truth. She was in despair. Memor found that revealing. Earlier, the Wisdom Chief had been trying to bring about Memor's disgrace and death. What had changed? Memor decided to wait her out. Asenoth broke first.
There comes a message from the target star, from our destination.
All Memor's feathers flared like a puffball. The human, engulfed, tried to wriggle free. Memor said,
That is wonderful. And dangerous, yes? Can you interpret?
There are visuals, complex ones. The message seems aimed at these creatures, at your late invaders.
Memor's feathers went to chaos, a riot of laughter.
That is endlessly interesting.
You must care for your talking, Simeon. We will try to make sense of this message. It is still flowing in. If I call, answer at once, and have the human at hand.
Tan-Lariv had caught little of that. She was nibbling at a melon slice now, slipped to her by Memor. She was enraged, tight-lipped, squinting in the strange glow that she had been caught again, but grudgingly grateful that Memor had brought provisions. The huge thing did not seem to mind carrying on conversation in front of a human either. What was that about? Hard to follow. Was Glory inhabited? And had someone there sent a message? Surely not to Earth. That would be foolish, when the bowl was straight between Earth and Glory and so much more powerful. The captain should be told. He and his crew would figure it out. Rockets fired, accelerations gripped her, and Memor's ship was in flight. Tan-Lariv sagged into the pole. The hard clamp was too strong to allow movement. She relaxed against the floor and tried to get into Savasana pose, letting her muscles ease, hoping that her dinosaur-sized captor wouldn't step on her.